Ian O'Flaherty rose behind Desmond Lefoe, berserk loathing contorting his face, a pocket fishing blade in his right hand. With his enhanced retinas on full amplification, the yellow haze emitted by the activated blade dazzled Eric for an instant. The threat assessment subroutine activated the defensive nanonic implant in his left hand. A targeting grid of fine blue lines flipped up across his vision. A rectangular section flashed red and wrapped itself around Ian O'Flaherty, adapting to his movements like elastic thread. "Don't!" Eric Thackra shouted. Ian O'Flaherty had already raised the blade high above his head when the shout came. In his wired state, he probably wouldn't have obeyed even if he had heard. Eric saw the muscles in his lower arm beginning to contract. The knife quivered as it started on its downward slash. The neural nanonics program reported that even with boosted muscles, Eric couldn't reach Ian O'Flaherty in time. He made his decision. A small patch of skin above the second knuckle of his left hand dilated, and the implant spat out a dart of nanonic circuitry, barely as large as a wasp stinger. It struck the bare skin of Ian O'Flaherty's neck, penetrating to a depth of 6 millimeters. The fission blade had already descended 20 centimeters towards Desmond Lefoe's broad back. As soon as it sensed it was buried inside the flesh and its momentum was spent, the dart sprouted a fur of microscopic filaments. They quested round on a pre-programmed search pattern for nerve strands, tips wriggling between the close-packed honeycomb of cells. Ganglions were located, and the sharp filament tips forced their way through gossamer membranes sheathing the individual nerves. At this time, the knife had descended 24 centimeters. Ian O'Flaherty's right eyelid gave an involuntary twitch at the small sting from the dart's entry. The dart's internal processor analyzed the chemical and electrical reactions flashing along the nerves. It began to broadcast its own signal into the brain. His neural nanonics detected the signal at once. But the circuitry was powerless to help. It could only override natural impulses originating from within the brain. Ian O'Flaherty had brought the blade 38 centimeters down towards Desmond Lefoe when he felt a million lacework rivulets of fire igniting inside his body. The blade fell another 4 centimeters before his muscles were convulsed by the besieging deluge of impulses. His nerves were burning out, overloaded by the nanonic dart's diabolical signal, ordering the massive uncontrolled release of energy along each strand, a simultaneous chemical detonation inside every neuron cell. Breath rasped out of his wide mouth, aghast eyes looking round the room in a final plea for life. His skin turned red, as if afflicted by instant sunburn. His muscles lost all strength, and he toppled limply onto the floor. The fission blade skittered about, shaving flakes of rock from the floor whenever it touched. No one else was fighting any more. Desmond Lefoe gave Eric a puzzled, pain-filled glance. "What?" "He would have killed you," Eric said in a quiet voice. He lowered his left arm. Everyone in the bar seemed to be staring at the offending limb. "What did you do to him?" a horrified Harry Levine asked. Eric shrugged. "Screw that," André Duchamp rasped. There was blood running out of his left nostril, and his eye was swelling rapidly. "Come on!" "You can't just go," Hassan Rowan shouted. "You killed him." André Duchamp tugged Bev Lennon to his feet. "It was self-defense. That Anglo bastard tried to kill one of my crew." "That's right," Desmond Lefoe rumbled. "It was attempted murder." He waved Eric on towards the door. "I'll call the cops," Hassan Rowan said. "Yes, you would, wouldn't you?" André Duchamp sneered. "That's your level, Anglo. Lose and weep. Run to the law." He fixed the shock-frozen barkeeper with a warning stare, then jerked his head for his crew to go through the door. "Why were we fighting, Hassan? Ask yourself that. The gendarmes certainly will." Eric stepped out into the rock tunnel which connected the Catalina with the rest of the vertical city's corridors and lifts and lobbies, helping a white-faced Desmond Lefoe to limp along. "Run and hide, then, Duchamp," Hassan Robin's voice echoed after them. "And you, murderer, but this universe isn't so large. Remember that." True night, with its darkness and lordly twinkling stars, had come and gone above Cricklade. It lasted less than 8 minutes before the red blaze of Duchess night began, and even those scant minutes hadn't been particularly dim. The ring of orbiting starships had looked spectacular, dominating the cloudless northern sky with their cold sparkle.